It's the Legends on Radio City and Radio City Talk.
And a very good evening to you. It's 6:30 on a Monday evening. It's Alan Irwin in for Steve Hothersall. We've got the Legends with us, and it's a late call-up for Dominic Matteo after a late cry-off from Mr. Aldridge. He's always got better things to do. Graham Sharp is, as always, in his usual seat, ready for your calls. 0151 472 0967. We want to hear from you. We want to reflect on Everton's pretty awful display at Leicester. We want to reflect on Liverpool's victory over Watford, which Jurgen Klopp described as like having afternoon tea. Simplicity in itself. We've got plenty to discuss, as always. We'll look forward to, if that's the right word, Everton at Sunderland on Wednesday evening. And we'll look forward to Liverpool's game at home to Chelsea, which takes place on the same night. It's the Legends. It's Alan Irwin, Graham Sharp, Dominic Matteo, and you, 0151 4720 967. Let's start with Dom, because Liverpool recorded a very easy victory, if Jurgen Klopp is to be believed.
Yeah, hot day. It was, the lads could have took the foot off the gas a little bit, but you know, he selected the team, which played a few younger lads, members of the squad, getting them more game time, which they all did very well. And Alan, you know, he's been doing well for them. So I think overall, I think he seems to be getting things right at the moment, Jurgen Klopp. I mean, I think the Swansea game, he mentioned that it was a bit too early. He's not used to these early kickoffs. But apart from that, everything he seems to do at the moment is bang on. And, you know, the lads seem to be flying at the moment, fitness-wise, towards the end of the season. Everyone looks fit and everyone wants to play. You know, leading up to a final, everyone wants to be in that team. You know, trying to impress to get in the bench or be in the starting lineup.
Yeah, without shadow of a doubt, Europa League final to look forward to next week. It's come round quick.
Yeah, and also, like you said earlier, it's a great chance, you know, to get in the Champions League. I mean, we won this Saturday 4 or 5 months ago. We wouldn't have thought that. And now is a great opportunity to win a European
90
trophy.
90 minutes from a Champions League
and
place.
A Champions League spot. So,
great stuff. We'll talk a lot more about Liverpool if you want to talk about that victory over Watford yesterday and the game against Chelsea coming up on Wednesday, 4720967. Sharpie's here with his tin hat, ready to field the calls from Everton fans regarding what is written down here as a dreadful display at Leicester, and I think that's pretty fair, Graham.
It is. You know, Dom was just talking about the, you know, how vibrant Liverpool were and are at this moment in time. It's the exact opposite. Everton, you know, I thought we were awful. Leicester looked at the team. I thought, yeah, he's going to match up 4-4-2. But I just couldn't see it. And you know, he plays two up front, which people have been crying out for. And Nias, the sign has come in, £13.5 million, and he was getting a lot of criticism. You know, I'll be honest, like, you're looking at him at first glance, you're thinking, he's got an awful lot to do to prove, you know, he's worth that money. But at least he had a go. At least he ran around, didn't do an awful lot, but he ran around and he showed some energy, should have maybe scored early on in the second half. But I looked through the team and I'm just lifeless. And the worrying thing is, we go with 4-4-2, and we say to Dom before we come on here, the first goal, surely the first rule of football is if the opposition get a throw-in, your midfield come back and at least level with the thrower. So enticing them to throw the ball back, then we can go and press as a team. They took the throw-in, threw it to the boy, King
put the ball
controlled
in
up the sole of his foot.
There wasn't a midfield player within
10, 15 yards of him, and you're thinking, yeah, that's basic. And then the ball goes in, it's poor defending. Yeah. And after 5 minutes, you're 1-0 down. You're thinking, oh, hold on a minute. Let's look around. Let's see if we roll our sleeves up. And I couldn't see it. I could not see it at all. And it could have been more. You know, he came out afterwards and said that Pennington was the only one that could hold his head high. I think he was a bit harsh on Joel Roberts, because I think Roberts saved it from being
quite a few one-on-one occasions. Yeah,
from 5 or 6. But the times he just ran through. You know, and he's played Ross Barkley as a central midfield player. And I looked at his lineup, and I thought, no Gibson. You know, Ross is not a defensive midfield player or a holding midfield player that he can play. He's more like let the leash off him and let
freedom,
him just play forward. But in a 4-4-2, I thought no, and I thought no. So I was a bit surprised at the lineup, but nothing to take from the game at all. You know, they go down, and I thought before on the Friday I said go down. I fancied it would spoil the party. I'm afraid that wasn't there.
Everton have faced more than 80 shots apparently now in their last two away games.
What does that tell you?
Yeah.
It's far too easy for the opposition.
What you're saying there.
Yeah, it's far too easy for the opposition.
It's easy to get towards Everton's penalty area without a shadow of a doubt.
But sometimes if things aren't going well for you, and we've said it time and time again, and Dom knows as well, you make sure defensively you're solid and you don't concede chances, you don't concede goals, and you might nick. Mm. Listen, it might not be in the manager's makeup, but when you're struggling for a result, you have to change and go, right, OK, listen, we need to be tighter defensively here and hopefully maybe hit them in the break as you try and do too. But I just thought, it was clueless. And
wrong team?
Not necessarily the wrong team, but the players have got to take responsibility as well. You know, the only one that came, Morales came on, which, again, I'm shocked every week when he doesn't play. But he comes on and has a lively 15, 20-minute cameo, whatever, scored a very good goal. He must be thinking there in the bench.
Yeah, what have I got to do?
What have I got to do? There's a boy there that's signed for $13.5 million who said that he's not fit yet to play in the Premier League, and he's playing in front of him. Mm. You know, Morales is looking towards not just at Everton, but for Belgium and the Euros as well. And I just think that he gives us so much more than what we're shown from an attacking point of view at this moment in time.
Steve and Kirby just sent us a tweet to say, is Niasse's first name paying in? That's not fair. Give the lad a chance. $13.5 million. He might take time to settle.
But listen. I can understand all that. But if you're paying £13.5 million for a player, you ain't got much time to settle. Mm. You ain't got much time to settle. You've got to come in and produce, and you've got to come in. And we know how difficult it is, you know, to appease, you know, the Everton fans. And listen, as I said, the boy ran about and probably put more effort in than Lukaku on the day, but he's got a long way to go.
From an outsider's view, looking in, Dominic, did you manage to see the game?
I watched the game, and it was I think great. It's like there's no kind of like team. It's like everyone's doing their own individual closing down. They're not playing at all as a team. Whether the manager's lost the dressing room or not, it looks a little bit like they're not playing for the manager. The other side of the, you know, of Stanley Park. Everyone's buying into Jurgen Klopp, and you can't help but help that. He's even his reactions on the touchline. But, you know, Martinez, you know, I think what Graham said, if you're having a bad time as a team, you get tight, you get, you know, your midfield players, you defend properly. Yeah. They just haven't done that. They're too easy to play against.
And then the
conceding goals and the poor goals. These goals can be stopped at source. And if you don't defend properly, these teams will punish you.
Yeah, and for the first time, we did hear the fans, unfortunately. And, you feel quite sorry for Mr. Martinez, because it was clearly audible. Get out of our club, they're shouting at Leicester. And that's the die-hard core of Everton fans that travel.
Well, it is. And I heard it in the first game at Goodison last week, after the game as well. Yeah, the Bournemouth, after the game as well.
Yeah, but that was only 100 of them.
I know. But I think that the feeling is, like, throughout the supporters, it's you know, the manager. Listen...
It's frustration, isn't it?
You never want to see a manager lose his job. Never, never. You know, people are giving us stick for still backing the manager. Listen, let's see what happens. The board will make the right decision. That's what we say. The board will make the right decision. Obviously, there's people talking about De Boer now and other names get mentioned, Martin O'Neill and everything else. If the manager is to leave Everton Football Club, well, who knows who we're going to get in. You know, and it's not nice hearing that. But the fans pay their money. They've got a right to express a view, but what I would say is it's still not them all. I'm not saying it's a tiny minority.
Never will be, will it?
It's not a tiny minority. There is a lot in the fan base. I wouldn't say it's a tiny minority.
But what it does do is make life very difficult for Roberto Martinez on Wednesday at Sunderland.
Well, Sunderland's a massive game. And again, I keep saying, at this stage of the season, as a player, if you're with nothing to play for, you know, it's like you can't see the season out fast enough. But these are big games. Leicester, I'll tell you what, I'm going to show myself against Leicester. I'm going to roll my sleeves up, have a right good go against. Let's spoil the party.
Yeah.
Let's send Sunderland down. I'd be saying now, let's send Sunderland down. We've got a massive... we can do something here. Let's send Sunderland down. But I'm not sure if the mindset's the same as what mine is.
Okay, well, let's find out what the Everton fans think about it. First of all, let's head to Walton. Kev is a blue and has got an opinion or two, I'm sure. Kev, welcome to the Legends.
Hi, lads. Hi. Graham, just before I obviously say this here, I was there in the 80s with the Coventry Jays and the Oxfords and the Stokes with the Windsor Oakwood Kendall. So, I'm one of the old stalwarts, and you and my Ireland still are. So, you know, when we speak of you, we talk of you in the same way as we do with Dixie Dean and Latchford, certainly on my side of the age scale. But anyway, it's just a question, really, Graham, more of, you know, a lot of us have... who watched the game, go to the game, and what was the thing with the Sky, with yourself and James Stewart, and what was the reason, you know, saying about, you know, what, be careful what you wish for? Was that in respect of giving him another season to obviously see what he could do on a third term or even a fourth
term?
No,
Kevin, not at all. The Sky interview, and people can take out of it what they want and they can make their own minds up and whatever else. Sky came over and asked us to do an interview and they clipped it and everything else, and people have clipped it and sent things out on the internet and everything else. They asked us a question about Roberto Martinez. And listen, I ain't one, I just said there before, I ain't one to come in here and castigate the manager and say, sack him and all that. Some people want you to do that. That ain't me. Yeah. That will never be me.
No.
I've been in that position as a manager. So what I'm saying is, they ask us the questions, whereas, listen, I've said all along, the two seasons we've had has not been good enough. His first season was great. You know, everybody was singing the School of Science, it's on its way back. Everybody thought, yeah, this is the next big thing. The second and third season have been poor, really poor. Yeah, we can see about, and I said on Friday night about semi-finals. Semi-finals that mean nothing. You've got to get finals and win trophies. That's the most important thing. Semi-finals aren't good enough for us. So if you're boiling it all down, Kev, what we were saying was, yes, we can understand he's got to two semi-finals and everything else, but it needs to be better. The football we're seeing at the moment is not great. You know, and the worrying thing for me is there's no fight or no passion and no drive.
Game on Saturday when they went off at half time, they were laughing. Some of the players were laughing between themselves, and I looked at that and I thought, you know what? You know, it's, I can't speak for every Evertonian that goes in the game, but I can certainly speak for the majority. Listen, you know, Roberto, from all accounts, is a nice guy, and he's come in, he's given it his best. But you know, some people outside the Everton family don't realise how big a club we are. We're a huge club. John Cross this morning on another radio station said that a massive, massive club, and even that, you know, he's run his time with us. And again, I'm not speaking for 40,000 Evertonians, but I can certainly speak for majority. You know, we wish him all the best. Yep. We hope he progresses in another club. And we want the best, Graham. Mm-hmm. We don't want Championship managers or Bournemouth managers who are coming in who are doing well at another club. We want the best. You know, Klopp's gone into Liverpool, and Dom will say, obviously verify this, he's turning round.
Yeah.
That, you know, they're going to be a major, major force. You can see his enthusiasm, the way he wants them playing. And you know, why...
Kev, Kev, you're spot on, and I think the majority of people will agree with you, and I agree with you there. If the manager does lose his job, and I'm just saying that this moment, if he does lose his job, you're talking about that. Who would you bring in? Who is there out there? You know, people are talking about Martin O'Neill. Would you have Martin O'Neill?
No. No. Graham, you listen, mate, you're a man of the club, and you know the club as well as we do. You know, we don't want Mourinho, because he'll give us a year, 2 years, and then he moves on. They're talking Simeone. Let's get real. You know, we should be now, not next week or the week after. We should have someone in the club now scouting for Koeman, scouting for De Boer, and not waiting until this summer tournament's over or the American tournament's over. So when they meet the players, they've got no time with them. We need someone in. We need a statement from the club. This is what we're doing. We thank him for the time he's given us. This is the next chapter of Everton. And we look at Leicester, Graham. Who would have, you'd never have believed it in a million years.
No.
Would you, at the beginning of the season, would we have swapped any of our team for Leicester City's players? Not in a million years.
Kev, you're right. They've ripped
it up, Leicester, now to say that you don't need to spend 500 million like City. Mm. You know, you had in the 80s, where you all went out there and you fought Andy Gray pointing fingers at people saying, you know, I'll be with you after. And that's what we want. We want fight. Yeah. And us, Everton, we know what we see at Goodison, and what we've seen for the last 2 years is not to the level as what we want.
Great points, Kev. Yeah. Thanks for coming on, Kev. Thanks, the Blue in Walton, with some very valid points there. That one about players laughing at half-time as well, I also saw at the end of the game, Graham, and I think you've made this point before about Everton being too nice. There were lots of big, warm smiles and congratulations for Leicester. Wouldn't you still be fuming that you've lost the game 3-1 despite the fact they've won the league and you want to...
But see, that's the difference now. The difference is, it's like we've talked about before, going off half-time and taking the opposition shirt and all that. What's all that about?
Mm.
You go through the door, you go up the tunnel, you compete for 90 minutes and you kick 7 bells at each other if you want, kind of thing. But after the game, you walk off and say, right, well, okay, fair enough, had a right go. But this has not just happened at Everton. This is all over the place, kind of thing. And
in modern football,
But again, if you have not got, And I said to somebody on Friday, we're on about, you know, Big Neville saying that the chairman should come out and say, oh, we're going for the league title this year. It's not about the chairman coming out and saying that. That should be in within the players to have the drive and desire to say, hey, we're having a right good go here. And if you ain't doing it, you're not with us.
Yeah.
We're not, get out. We don't want you kind of thing. Yeah. The drive has got to come from the players. Yeah. Of course, it comes from the manager as well. I'm not saying that. But the players, when they come off and fans can see them smiling and all that, that doesn't help them one
bit. Some of those players at the weekend are still playing for places in the Euros in the summer as well. Yeah. They didn't give you that impression.
I don't think as well. I think in dressing rooms in general now, you know, there's no like players having a go at each other. You know, that was a big part of a dressing room. You know, Graham's was a strong dressing room. I've been in strong dressing room. That's what it's all about when you lose a game.
Yeah.
You've got to have a go at each other. You've got to get these things out in the open.
Yeah, without doubt. Right, Dom, get your thinking cap on, because if you win this one, you probably go ahead of Sharpie in the look who's scoring competition.
I think
it's level at 8-all or something, isn't it? 6-all, Dave tells me. I'm not having it. Right, if you can call... and identify the player we're looking for from the following clues before either of the two legends. You do win a mystery prize. It's a former Liverpool player tonight who was born in 1981. So that makes him, what, 34, 35? 35 this year. Two caps for his country, but is yet to score. Former Liverpool player born in 81. Two caps for his country, but is yet to score.
But is he still playing?
I can't tell you that yet.
But he's yet to
score. Oh, the answer's yes. Dave says he's still playing. It was present tense, wasn't it? Yet to score, yeah. Yet. Former Liverpool player, born in 81, two caps for his country, yet to score. There was another clue, but Dave scribbled it out because obviously that was going to give it away. So we'll reveal a few more in part two very shortly. You can talk to the legends, 0151 4720967. You can try and get the Look Who's Scoring competition. Thinking caps are on in the studio. We'll be back very shortly.
Radio City Talk Legends with Williams BMW. Find them at Bolton, Liverpool, Manchester, Rochdale and Stockport. Football is all a matter of opinion. Share yours. 0151 4720 967. The Legends. On Radio City and Radio City Talk.
Welcome back to The Legends. It's Alan Irwin in for Steve Hoversall tonight on this Monday evening following a footballing weekend. We've got Dominic Matteo in the studio representing the Reds. And of course, Graham Sharp is here to reflect on Everton's display at Leicester. Look forward to Sunderland, if that's the right word. I don't think it is. And we want you, 0151 4720 967. Before we get into more calls, we're going to do the Look Who's Scoring clues in just a minute. We've got to say a big congratulations, though, to... a young girl who's made England's under-16s football team, Chloe Fisher. We've had your dad, Doug, on the phone, and granddad, Ray, saying congratulations. Chloe Fisher is in the England under-16s squad.
Yeah, well done, Chloe. You know, all the best. Hope it goes well for you.
Great stuff. Thanks to dad, Doug, and granddad, Ray, for flagging it up to our attention. Everybody who reaches that sort of level deserves a little plaudit. Yep. She's hoping to get into the Everton squad before the end of the season. So,
the main team of the league.
Right, look who's scoring. Former Liverpool player, born in 81, two caps for his country, but he's yet to score. These clues might help you out a bit. We haven't had anybody on the lines who's got it right or tweeting in. Played for 8 different English clubs. So he's been around. And 2 of his 3 honours in his career are runner-up medals in the UEFA Cup and the FA Cup. So runner-up medals in the UEFA Cup and the FA Cup. Only won 3 honours in his career, played for 8 different English clubs. But we've got a little clip here which might just help you. It's only a short one, so concentrate, headphones on, here we go.
We come here for getting promoted, which was a good week, but now we're here for... serious matters, and I think the boys have got their heads around it. They're knuckling down, and we're ready to go.
That hasn't helped me. I haven't got the answer, by the way.
Sounded like a Cockney.
Yeah. 8 different English clubs. 2 of his 3 honours in his career. Runners-up medals, so it doesn't sound like... Well, he's probably got 1 winner's medal, if 2 are runners-up medals, in the UEFA Cup and the FA Cup. So, UEFA Cup, an English club that lost in the UEFA Cup final.
Was it Emil Heskey? He had more caps than that.
Yeah, a lot more caps.
And that was not Emil.
Yeah, definitely wasn't.
8 different clubs.
Yeah. Oh, let's go on to part 3 clues, because I'm struggling as well. His only winner's medal came from winning the championship. Oh, here we go. and he scored a goal against Liverpool in the final of a cup competition. Ooh. Scored against Liverpool in the final of a cup competition. They are West all Ham the player. Clues are out there. So
West Ham player.
West Ham player. Who scored in the cup final? Dean Ashton? No, never played for Liverpool. An ex-player.
It's not Konchesky, is it?
It was the left-back.
Konchesky.
Paul Konchesky. Oh, Sharpie. He's there
forgot
again.
Forgot about him.
Yeah,
forgot about him.
He was in the papers. He had a bad accent at the weekend, didn't he?
Did he?
In his car, yeah. It's a grand old team to
take for. Sharpie takes a one-point lead.
Yeah. Sorry, Aldo.
7-6 to Sharpie. How many shows have we had? And it's only 7-6.
Yeah, it's not 7-6.
65 shows, yeah. There's been a lot of draws
and
in this
63
look of scoring.
2.
Paul Konchesky, yeah, tried to put a cross in. Two caps for his country. Yeah. Don't remember those, to be honest with you.
No.
So, yeah. There you go.
Yeah.
Okay, calls for Dom and Sharpie, 0151 4720 967. Let's talk about Liverpool's win over Watford. We only touched on it briefly. Yeah. Firmino growing in importance to Liverpool.
Yeah.
And Ojo looking quite a talent.
Yeah, I mean, I've watched Ojo quite a lot in the 21s this year. And at times he's been head and shoulders above every other player on the pitch. Particular game against Middlesbrough, he got a hat-trick. I watched the game live and he was awesome. Seems to have matured physically in the last couple of months. Maybe with being around the first team squad helps. It did certainly for me when I was a young player, being around the so-called older pros and getting used to the habits and the way they look after themselves. He seems to have come into his own and he's definitely deserved his chance. I think he's a big player for the future. Keep him right. And also, like you say, it's just the team, the spirit within the group at Liverpool at the moment, it's really good.
It helps, doesn't it?
And I think when you see Klopp on the sidelines, you can't help but like him.
Yeah.
You know, if it's a football fan, I know the Evertonians and stuff, they'll probably hurt them even more because he's such a likable guy. And everything he says, I actually believe him. You know what I mean?
That's right, isn't it? Well, he said turn the doubters into believers.
And the players, he's getting a response out of the players. Yeah. Even when they get a defeat, you know, they did a bad performance against Swansea, to get a performance like they did against Villarreal, you know, a few days later, 4 days later. I know it's a different side, but what a great performance.
Dom says here that it doesn't matter what team he puts out. He expects them to play the same way.
Exactly.
And immaterial, and just say, you'll get the opportunity, show me you can do it. If you can't, they'll move him on. But what he's getting now is he's getting results for whatever team he plays. So they're all pulling in the right direction.
And there's not many teams now in the Premier League who can do that.
Yeah.
Who can make that many changes and get a result. Yeah. So I think Liverpool are only one of maybe a couple that can do it.
Yeah.
Okay, let's get John on. He's a Red. He's from Childwall. He's been listening to what the lads have got to say. Welcome to the Legends, John.
Yeah, it's just a quick points on the, you know, the capacity of the final. I think, you know, they're getting a bit of stick for on this, and rightly so. But, you know, the last time this final sold out, you know, was when Rangers played at Man City. Because it's not traditionally a fixture that does sell out, you know what I mean? I think if Villarreal had got there, I don't even think they would have been a sellout this year.
Yeah, but isn't that a reflection on the teams that have got to the final as opposed to the fact that it's Liverpool this time around?
Well, I think there's very few fans. And I'd put the likes of, say, United, Liverpool, Everton. I wouldn't put the likes of City, Chelsea, Arsenal. I'd put it maybe Newcastle, possibility because of being successful. There's very few fans who would say 25,000 across Europe.
Yeah, that's right. But you still should have a stadium that holds more than 35,000.
John, don't you think that what we argued about this before, you know, in the studio and everything else, and we talked about it. They want UEFA want this. You know, the Europa League over the last few years has been looked at as, you know, a secondary competition. UEFA wanted the teams to build up this Europa League so it could be like the Champions League. So they should have looked at that and thought, okay, if we want that, we need to put it in a stadium, immaterial. And I know what you're saying, if there's only 15,000 in a 60,000 seat stadium, it doesn't look good. But UEFA were adamant they wanted this. We've got to take it serious, you know, it's a big, big competition. But then to put it in a 30,000 seat stadium, well, I think that's poor.
I agree with what you're saying. It should be a bigger capacity, but I think the last final was at Juventus last year, which holds less than 38,000, and that wasn't a sellout.
Yeah, maybe.
You know, I'm not sticking up for you, Fred, but what I'm saying is, I think what if they dangle the carrot of the Champions League, please? Mm. I mean, you had the scenario. I know it didn't pan out that way, but you had the potential to have a Liverpool United final.
Yeah, indeed.
Imagine that.
Yeah.
Well, the final for next year has already been decided since Stockholm, and that stadium holds 50,000. Well, now that's more like it, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, listen to this. Graham will love this, right? Because if we are successful, right, the Super Cup's in Norway.
So that's right.
So it holds 21,000.
You need 150,000 seat stadium.
Hey, you've loved an OG Graham, don't you?
So, have you got a ticket for the final, John?
Yeah.
Oh, brilliant. Yeah. Fantastic.
No, one of the 10,200 that's secured one.
Well, to be honest, you're going down, you've opened a can of worms here because our owners don't want, and I know it sounds ridiculous, our owners don't want, they want out of town to park where they'll come in, they spend a couple of £100 in the club shop. They don't want a rank and file. I mean, I made up that it's the £30 away next year. It should be £30 across the board, full stop. And, you know, if you've got the Paul Sarney brigades in the corporates, they want to pay through the nose. But they're the most fickle anyway. They'd be the first to go when the club goes through bad times.
Yeah. Liverpool aren't the only club like that, though, are they? No.
John, do you think that, you know, Liverpool going over there? I know Klopp's come out and said, no, you shouldn't go over there if you haven't got a ticket.
After he said you should go.
Yeah, after he said. But do you think, surely Liverpool will take thousands? I think it'll be very similar to when Celtic played in Seville.
Yes.
But the thing about it, I mean, that ground holds 38,000. Now, I was arguing with my Everton mates today. There'd be 30,000 plus Liverpoolians in it. I'm not saying 30,000 plus Scousers.
No.
There'd be 30,000 plus Liverpoolians in that ground.
Yeah.
And I think Klopp got caught carries away. You know, when what's gone on, the momentous events in the last fortnight, the last thing Liverpool needs is Sicherlitz fans turning up at a European stage.
And it's
you know, I was talking earlier on your news, what better place if they are successful on the night than to be in Liverpool, the city, be rocking more.
Rather than
going all over there and like not getting in and like, I'm paying a tenner a pint.
I was going to say, Switzerland. Bad news for you, it's gone up for that special couple of days. It's up to £15 a pint.
Brilliant points, John.
Cheers, John.
What I'll do, Graham, when I go over there, do us a favour. Can you lend me your kicks? Because I'll lose your money.
John, great stuff. Enjoy the final, mate. Thanks
John,
for coming
cheers.
On.
Cheers,
John in Childwell making some valid points. But it will be a good night in the city, won't it? It might be something akin to what it was like when it was Istanbul. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, most definitely be a fantastic occasion. I'm sure all the bars in the city will make a big effort with it. And it's a great night to look forward to, especially for the city.
Tis indeed. We'll have more callers in the final part of the Legends. We've got Dominic Matteo and Graham Sharp in the studio. Give us a call if you can, 01514720967.
Radio City Talk Legends with Williams BMW. Experts in motability. Search Williams BMW for their latest offers. Football is all a matter of opinion. Share yours. 01514720 967. The Legends. On Radio City and Radio City Talk.
Yeah, we've had a few opinions shared already on the Legends. 01514720967. It's Dominic Matteo in for Aldo today. Graham Sharp's here. And as we say, we've had a few opinions already. We've still got plenty to talk about. We'll talk about the Premier League in general. We've still got callers to get on. Newcastle and Norwich look as though they're on the brink. Mm-hmm. Everton have their fortune in their hands, Graham.
Well, listen, Newcastle have only got themselves to blame. They had an ideal opportunity on Saturday at Villa. They hadn't won a game since the year dot. and they go down there and all of a sudden, if they get a result there, you know, what happened to Sunderland was incredible. Yeah. You know, it looks like they were down and out, but fair play to the end. They're alive and kicking. But, you know, Rafa Benitez has said, he's looking towards it. Nothing to do with Everton kind of thing. Everton have got to get their own house in order and try and beat Sunderland. It'll be difficult. It'll be a packed house up there. But, again, a great game to play in. You know, if you're an Everton player, it's not a end of the season dead rubber kind of thing.
No.
It's an important game, so you've got to be at it. You know, I just sincerely hope. You know, we talked about Leicester. You know, it'll be a good time to play Leicester because they've been on the ale all week. I think you'd been on the air.
Yeah, it looked that way, didn't it?
Yeah, exactly. So hopefully we go into it with a different approach and we can get a result. But, you know, it'll be a fantastic atmosphere up there.
Let's see what John and Childrell thinks. No, not that one. This is another one. He's a blue. Hiya, John. Welcome.
All right, lads.
Hi, John.
I think I've been on the air since that derby, to be honest with you.
I know how you feel.
But I think you're going to have to change your job title. I think you're becoming the Everton agony aunt.
Yeah, I know. Dear Sharpie. Yeah.
To be honest, I think you're on the wrong show now.
I'll leave it there.
But it's the same old, to be honest with you. Obviously, the facts are there about Martinez, and you know, we told him defeats all season, and you know, we listening to even Dominic there, you know, the way Gergen's come in for them over the park, and it's just, you know, the rock and roll football and all the rest of it, and I think that's something, you know, I'm envious, you know, I'm not bothered, I'll say I'm envious of it, you know, I'm not saying we should all go and, you know, wave at buses when they're coming into the stadium and stuff, but you know, somebody like Roberto Mancini or Frank de Boer or someone like that. You know, other names have been passed to us like Mark Hughes and Eddie Howe. I know he's an Evertonian and things like that. He might not be local, but, you know, I don't want to see names like, you know, Mark Hughes, Eddie Howe. No disrespect to the good managers, but, you know what, whoever, I think at this time, although we've got all the doom and gloom, I mean, I try and look away from the first team at the moment. And if you look at the reserves, you know, the under-18s, you know, the winning cups in that, the winning the Dallas Cup, the reserves are flying. You know, you've seen that Kieran Dowell every week scoring screamers on the internet. Yeah. And it just seems that we've got everything in place apart from this first team. And I think any manager, regardless of, you know, whether they're an up-and-coming manager, they're established, you know, foreign, you know, domestic, they've got an opportunity now where they should be licking the lips, wanting a piece of Everton. You know, they've got this, you know, Moshiri who's come in, who, you know, we might have millions and millions to spend. We might end up like Chelsea, Man City, spending millions on all kinds. And, you know, they should want a piece of that. They should be, you know, and apparently Frank de Boer gave an interview saying he'd love to manage Everton or Valencia. And, you know, it's to advertise the club, somebody should want a piece of this. Whoever's going to come in, they've got an opportunity to go down, you know, in our history.
John, you're right, and you look at whoever comes in, if the manager's still there, whatever, we don't know yet, but it is a massive, and I've said it before, it's a massive summer, because you look at Tim Howard, Hibbo, Ozzie, Pienaar, Gibson, McGeady, then you could possibly talk about losing Lukaku or Stones or whatever. You could quite possibly come into a situation or inherit a situation where you've got to find 10 players. Now, that is massive. And I know what you're talking about, the young kids and everything else, which is looking good. But
you can't rely on them.
You can't rely on them making the step up. But what I'm saying is whoever's in charge, whoever it may be, has got a massive summer, because I think there's going to have to be a complete overhaul of the team, with those maybe 10 players going out the window and bringing players in. So it's going to be whoever's there, going to be a job from scratch again. It's going to be a job from scratch. And it's like what you want to look at now, and you say, well, and the board have got to look at it and say, well, okay, do we trust Roberto Martinez to come in and spend the money on bringing 10 new players in, or do we not, and do we have to trust somebody else? And then that gives you know, the De Boers of this world and Koeman or whoever they may well be looking at, I don't know. But whatever happens, it is a massive, massive club. You talked about Moshiri and investment. It's a massive summer for the football club, and they need to get it right. You know, if we want to be, we look at West Ham moving to the new stadium and selling 52,000 season tickets. Yeah. We need to have a big, big impact next year in whatever we do.
Well, I mean, even I agree with you totally, and just going away from even getting off the Martinez bandwagon at the moment. I think it was either yourself or Anne said before, you know, the body language of the players, you know, being a bit too friendly with the Leicester players after the game. Mm. And I genuinely think that they believed that the match is over. I think that's why they're congratulating so much. But even going back earlier this season, you know, the body language hasn't been there for me for a while. And just a few examples, like when we were 2-0 up against West Ham and we won a penalty, and I think it was Bessage when he screamed at the Gravis Street, and, you know, the next game he played in centre, against Arsenal, and he got put off at half time because he was terrible. And I know he's played once or twice since, albeit at right back, and he's not a back. But you know, if players like him aren't getting up for it, he's like a bit like Gravesen used to be. You know, played towards the crowd, and he get the crowd going, and his head's down. And you know, Morales, he's always been a bit temperamental, to be honest with you, but his head's gone down. I mean,
Johnny, but John, to me, he's got to play, isn't he? Morales,
of course, like you said, he wants to be part of that. I don't understand why Cleverley is playing left mid, and you've got Morales there on the bench and things like that, just for the balance of the team. It's about mind blowing. But even Kaku, I know his dad is agent or something like that, and he comes out now and again saying he wants to leave, go to a bigger club. And I mean, he scored them two brilliant goals against Chelsea, and Goodison was bouncing. And you know, his dad already come out and said that, and you know, you haven't seen him lift his head up since that game. He
spot
just disappeared.
On. Yeah.
I think he was on the phone to his agent at half time. At Anfield, wasn't he?
He's
nowhere to be seen.
All right, John, we'll have to move on. You made some good points.
Cheers, John. Thanks very much for that.
That's John and Childwell. Right, we've got plenty on the line waiting. John certainly making a point or two about what is required. Let's talk to Phil, who's another Blue. Dom, I don't know why you're here.
No, go back to what John was saying there, though. It's like, you know, Liverpool, if they're not doing it, if you're not running around, you're not having a go. Yeah, Klopp, you're out of the team. You know, and that's what he does. And I think a lot of managers can take, you know, can learn from that.
Okay, Phil's a Blue. He's in Kirby, hanging on patiently. Hiya, Phil.
Hello, boys.
How are you doing,
Phil? Hi, Phil. It's a sharpie again, but I want to know what Dominic thinks as well, and yourself. Just regarding the Everton manager situation, I mean, I haven't really wanted Martinez in for over a year now. I don't think he reached the game well enough. I don't think he's good enough for Everton. And my thing is, wouldn't you have David Moyes back? I mean, people have been saying that Moyes back, but Howard Kendall went back a few times.
Yeah.
I mean, and I just think with Moyes, I watched him at half time in the Derby game, David Moyes, and he's still an Evertonian, because it was hurting him that we were getting battered. And that's what I want. I want an Evertonian with passion who takes our club. I don't want a foreigner coming in for a payday. I don't want that.
Yeah.
I mean, look at Aston Villa, then Miguel coming in. I want someone who knows the Premiership. And I don't. Because when Moise came in, we were battling. You know what he liked, Sharpie, then?
Yeah.
The first couple of years. It was hard. And he got us on a good set, and he got our defence. And we didn't concede many goals. And I know it wasn't great football. But you know what? I just put a bit more money. He might be able to get a few people in. And it might be a bit better. Because at the few years, Sharpie, he didn't have the money to spend.
No.
And I just think, you know what?
Back
all day. I think it's a fair point. I mean, how many Evertonians have really been watching Eredivisie, Frank de Boer, and Ajax?
Phil, has got a point there. But for all the ones that Phil's saying, and listen, he made some great points here, the amount of people who wouldn't have him back, So that's what I always say is, like, it's really difficult to say who your next manager is going to be. It is, because you're never going to appease everybody. You know, so sometimes you've got to change.
So don't make a decision in haste.
No, but what I'm saying, what John says here is right. Moyes' team was more defensive more defensive. You know, and we nicked games 1-0 and the football wasn't great at times, you know. So we've got to get a happy medium. Whereas Martinez was more attack minded and leaking goals for fun, and it's not good enough. But I agree with Phil a little bit, where we need somebody that's going to get the passion and the grit and the determination that Klopp's doing over at Liverpool and the way that he's driving his players on. Who that might be, Phil, I'm not sure. Could Moyes do it? I think he'd jump at the chance.
I think for me, Phil, as well, I think, you know, as a neutral looking in, you know, and obviously I watch Liverpool, but when I look at the Everton players, there's just not enough strong characters or leaders out there. No one's talking. There's no winners. That's the word I'm looking for. There's no winners out there. You know, like Sharpie talks about it. In your team, your dressing room, you need winners. People want to win football games. You know, and not just end of the season. Yeah. But players are going to play every game right the way through. I think Everton have got they're carrying too many players. They need big change. And I think for me personally, it would be the time for possible changes.
Phil, give someone a chance. They're totally different managers in the way they manage. You know, Moyes would, like, if you didn't do something right, you'd know all about it. You know, when people say, well, he never gave Ross Barkley a chance, he wouldn't give the kids a chance, kind of thing. But I tell you what, he'd experienced players in that dressing room who weren't scared of him. But respected him and stood up to him at times when they needed to say that. I'm going through Phil Neville's and, yeah. and people yeah. like that kind of thing. We haven't, at this moment in time, we're too nice, as Dom says. Yeah. We're too nice. We're a nice team. We're a group of nice players kind of thing. We need somebody. Sometimes they need a kick up the backside. Mm. You'd love them to kick up the backside and make them angry and see what reaction you get. Because at the moment, we're just drifting.
It's got to hurt a little bit more. When you get beat, it's got to hurt, doesn't it? You come off and you've got to have given it all. If you haven't given your all, it's got to hurt.
But Phil, doesn't that come from the manager himself in the attitude and the persona that he displays?
Well, I think so. I mean, the lads have been with top managers themselves, and they know who gets the best out here. I think at half time, sometimes you're not doing your job. You need to be told because no matter what work of life, what job you're ever in, if you're not doing your job right, then you know what I mean. You need to be told.
I think as well, Phil, it's got to come from the players as well to each other. Yeah. I don't think that happens enough nowadays. I mean, if I had a bad game at Liverpool, Johnny Barnes would have me by the throat at half time. Yeah. I'm not joking. Yeah. That's what it was like. You know, that's the passion, that's the winning mentality.
Yeah, I think about Moisey because only the simple reason what Sharpie said about there could be 10 players. I just think someone who's got experience of the Premiership, I just don't want a foreigner coming in. Yeah. There's all kinds of foreigners in. I think, hang on a minute, mate.
Yeah.
What about black ball straight away?
Yeah.
You know, we start off by that. We haven't got the right characters in. We could be sinking ship.
Yeah.
I think you need someone who knows the Premiership and who knows how Evertonians are. Mm. I mean, we're not going to go and win the league or win the Cups, but you know, it'll take time because the players he's going to bring in. It's going to take a while.
Yeah.
I bet Leicester fans said they weren't going to win the league at the start of the season, so it can be done, Phil.
Of course it can be, but I just think that now it is going to be a big job because there's a lot of players going out.
Yeah.
And I just think you need a good mix in. I think, you know, a person who knows about a football club who can hit the ground running. Mm.
Yeah. Good points.
All right, Phil. Thanks very much. Phil, who's a Blue, and Kirby, a passionate Blue at that. And it is a fair point. And, you know, David Moyes would certainly steady the ship. But then it becomes difficult to move it on further again, doesn't it, Graham?
But it does, Albert. This is when you change managers, it's a gamble.
Mm.
It's a mess. They could come with the best reputation in the world and it doesn't work for them. They bring all the players in and then you become an Aston Villa or a Newcastle, changing your manager every 3 seasons or 2 seasons or whatever. You don't want. We were quite fortunate with Moyes that we had stability and he was there for the length of time he was.
Yeah.
You know, some people maybe said he stayed too long. Some people come on and say we don't want him back because his football was boring and everything else.
But
what you got from Moyes' team is what the fans wanted to see.
It's commitment.
Exactly. Drive and desire and commitment, win tackles and, you know, scrap and hunt and harry people and, you know, have a right good go. And then if he came off...
Because they play in the image of the manager, and that's what Jurgen Klopp is delivering at Liverpool.
I always say to everybody who comes to Everton Football Club and I'll say, right, I'll tell you what they want from you. They want you to roll your sleeves up, have a right good go. If you're not the best, you know, they will still back you. The prime example for that is a boy, Strakularsi. You know, who ran around. Who ran around, wasn't the best player in the world, but they took to him because he showed effort and commitment and drive. I don't think they're seeing
playing
enough
in
of
the
that.
Image of managers. Arsenal, Arsene Wenger, England, Roy Hodgson. You know, there are numerous examples you can go down. Not always. There will be the exception to the rule, won't there?
Of course there is,
I mean, like just Klopp's at the moment. He must be killing the Evertonians because he is that passionate and he's that up for it. And then you see over the other side of the park and...
We're getting Evertonians coming on praising Klopp, praising what he's doing.
It's the ethos, the whole ethos of the club. It's right
but
the way
Klopp,
through.
Dom, you're spot on with Klopp. But Leicester, I'm not saying they're the same as Liverpool. Mm. They're not as much quality when you look at individual players. But what they've got is team spirit. And this is how we're going to play. We're going to go and press at the right time. And
I think as well, they're all mates off the field.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't see that nowadays. You know, people going for having a couple of beers and a dinner. I'm not saying go out and get drunk, but, you know, that's missing from dressing rooms now as well.
Well, we saw the Leicester celebrations, didn't we?
I'd like to be in that house party.
Got a couple of days off, reported back for training on Thursday. It looked as though Everton had just reported back.
Yeah.
Didn't do them any harm at all, but maybe it was that team spirit that's carried them through, as it was in the mid-80s when you were doing things and winning at Graham.
It is, but the quality players, the boy Mahrez, you've got to take your hat off to him, and the boy Kante in midfield, and obviously Vardy as well. So they've got three players who maybe take all the limelight. But when you go back to the defence, you've got Wes Morgan, who's been... I hate to say
he's
this,
been around.
But a journeyman, and you've got Robert Huth, you could probably say the same again. But what you've got is you've got good, honest pros who play within, this is how we play, we don't change it, we've got somebody up front who will run and harass and chase and score goals.
I think we've got time for one more caller. We're approaching the end of the show, but Neil is a red from the city centre. Delighted to have you on, Neil, because Dominic Matteo's almost been falling asleep. Live him up.
Sharp, he's not that bad.
Yeah, I'm delighted, Dave. I'm off.
Well, it is, boys. I just wanted to, at the end of that game, was just to speak really about two things, about Firmino and how much he's settled in, and whether Dom thinks next year he's going to be like a top, top player in the Premier League. And also to mention about his stats. I mean, when he's playing, he's effectively either scoring the goal or giving an assist in every single game.
Yeah, no, I think you're absolutely spot on. He's been excellent. I think as the season's got on, he's got better.
Yeah.
And I think Klopp's getting the best out of his players. You know, he understands Definitely. People. You know, you see his relationship he's got with the players. You know, win or lose, he's speaking to them, he's talking to them. He knows how to interact with players, which I think as a manager, you don't see that too often. Mm-hmm. Sometimes, you know, the coaches will do that, but Jurgen Klopp seems to be very hands-on, and he's bringing the best out of players. I mean, I think for me, I mean, James Milner for me has probably been the best player in my opinion, but I think Firmino might probably win the Player of the Year this week because he has been that good. And like you say, he does create a lot of chances. His first touch is fantastic.
Yeah.
I mean, some of them touches the other night against Villarreal were you know, world-class. He's a real
that
top player.
Still going this year.
Exactly, yeah, he is. Yeah, get us a salary while you're there. But, you know,
they paid £28.5 million for him, didn't they?
Yeah, you know, he's a lot of money, but, you know, in this day and age, not
money
a lot of money,
well
is it?
Spent.
Yeah, money well spent. I think he's going to be a real player, and the fans love him.
Also, what's happening with us at the moment, if you noticed it in the media, obviously he's working it yourselves, is all the pressures come off the players.
Yeah.
Like the Mourinho effect at Chelsea. No one ever spoke if Lampard, Terry had a bad game. Now it's all about what Klopp done, what Klopp said, what he said after the game. And he's taken that, as
good
you
point.
Two lads know, as
a
player. That's good a point. Massive release for the players. Mm.
Good point.
Yeah, I mean, I love watching his press conferences. They're absolutely brilliant. They're a bit long, but they're absolutely first class. I mean, he speaks a lot of sense. Like I said earlier in the show, I do believe what he says. And, you know, the way Liverpool are going, I mean, I think personally there might be four or five players coming in the summer and we might see a bit of a new team again next year, an even better team.
Oh, without a doubt.
I mean, he's got players lined up that he's going to bring in, and I think Liverpool are going definitely in the right direction. That's got too carried away, but, you know, we're definitely going in the right way.
All right, Neil. Thanks,
Neil.
Thanks very much for your call. That's Neil in the city centre, who's our final caller tonight. So just a few more seconds to look forward to Everton, Sunderland, Liverpool, Chelsea. What do you reckon? Wednesday, Dom?
Yeah, good game. And like you say, he's obviously...
No John Terry?
No John Terry. I mean, that was a silly sending off, man of his experience. But I think he will have one eye. I mean, it's really hard to pick Jurgen Klopp's teams. I've tried myself a few times in the last few weeks and got it completely wrong. But it'll be a tough game, and he'll probably give a few of the young lads a chance.
And a tough one for Everton at Sunderland. Last 15 seconds, Greg.
I'm looking for improvement now. I'm looking for it. Right. I'm not asking much.
Well, you will be back on Friday, most definitely, to reflect on Everton at Sunderland. And we'll talk about Liverpool-Chelsea. Aldo should be back in the seat. The legends will be here, of course, on Friday.
Radio City Talk Legends with Williams BMW. Find them at Bolton, Liverpool, Manchester, Rochdale and Stockport.